Wow. It is so sad that we have to turn to resources today to make sure that we cover all our ground. But the best resource ever is only the Word of God. In preparation, I like to do some research. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's enough stuff out there to minister and minister well. But I don't think that it's always where the people are, where our people are. This week I just said, Lord, may your Holy Spirit just minister to us as it always does in faithfulness. Sister Rose, can we just get the portion that our lovely sister read so aptly this morning from Acts chapter 2 there? And I just want to read one or two verses there. And then I want to just read something that I drew from the internet that was so appropriate, especially in a time that we are living in. Just so that you can understand, the last couple of weeks, I've spent a lot of hours driving. I have become a personal Uber to my wife, as you can see. And in doing that, you've got a lot of time to think. Some mornings, it's not difficult for me to have a lot of words. I'm born with a lot of words. Some mornings there's a lot of words, and other mornings there's just no words. The words is not switched on. And one of these mornings that the words wasn't switched on, I was just driving back from dropping cement at work, and I was just thinking, wow, what do people do that spends days and months and hours on the road? What do they think of? Because I'm just saying to her, I said to her this morning, I've been up since 2, and I'm thinking, a lot of things went through my mind. And I said to her this morning, I'm so glad that it went through my mind, that it didn't stay there. Because as you're driving, man, you see a lot of things, you react to a lot of things, and it's just about you and this machine called the car. What do you do with it? Who of you have ever driven a car with no power steering? And now please be careful because this will divulge your age. All right? Car with no power steering. All the others drove cars with power steering. Sister, do you drive? Yeah. A car with power steering? Yeah. Never driven a car without power steering? Yeah. You have? Okay. Now, sister, you said your hand was up first. What is the difference between a car with a power steering and a car with no power steering? You also drove a car with no power steering. It would have been a sight to behold to see you because remember the steering was big as well. Hallelujah. I remember. A ute. And the gears. Yes. I love it. I remember learning to drive on this old car with no power steering, a Peugeot. And man, it felt like heavy. Because when I turned, I was a very tiny, but, and I used to, and you try to turn, and my uncle is sitting next to me, and he says, turn, boy, turn. And I'm turning. But as you grow into this thing, you realize that because I'm going slow, you don't want to go, so you go slow. And the slower you go, the heavier the car is. Am I right? And then I realize as you mature in this thing and you become confident, you realize that as you, with a car with no power steering, the faster you go, the lighter it is. But what happens if you really go fast with no power steering and you get to that turn? And what happens to you? Man, you lose control. I want to say to you on this Pentecost Sunday, if your life is without Jesus, it's like a car with no power steering. It's like a car with no power steering. It's heavy. You're struggling to make every turn. You're struggling to go forward because it feels like your wheels is flat. And everything is just heavy. And that's what it feels without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And now this morning, I want to offer you the opportunity to put a smile on your face. And come on, sister, who's driving cars with power steerings these days? Oh, yeah. All the modern babies, come on, put up your hands. And you know that there's a joy in driving these cars with power steerings, especially manual cars. I love a power steering car, and it's a manual because I can shift the gears. But I also enjoy the automatic because I get lazy, then I just sit like this. And Peter's got a big car, and I use it quite often. And this big Toyota, and I'm sitting there, and I feel my wife says, she believes that I keep myself very big when I'm driving this big car because I'm sitting there with the one hand out. And you can just, I said, do I want to get this? You see, the trucks have got these knobs that you put on the steering there, and the truck driver just does that with the knob. Now, I want to say to you, a car with the power steering is awesome, isn't it? Amen? But now, remember, the car with no power steering was effective when there was speed, right? When there was a bit of speed on it, you could turn, you could do everything because it was a bit lighter. But what happens to a car with power steering and their speed? What happens to that? You lose control. You lose control. Do you know that the accident rate for young people under 25 is almost 162 just for this year? Do you know why? Because a car with power steering is actually faster. You can, any movement you make there, you're gone. If there's no control, if you do not know how to control it, you will lose your life. So both a car with no power steering and a car with power steering, if there's no control, you lose your life. Some of us go through life extremely fast these days, because everything is so automatic. It's so, you can just do this. A car with a power steering, you can turn like this, man. And especially, I saw the other day, Brother Jeff has got this big Mercedes-Benz, and we were going somewhere, and this Mercedes turned, and the wheels almost turned like that. And I'm thinking, wow! The wheels practically could just turn like that because the... Folks, I want to say to you this morning, without Jesus, even with your power steering, you are out of control. The Bible says to us in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, I just want to stop there for a second. Did you know that the church in Australia is declining very fast? It's declining fast. Man, besides us and Joan of Arc and the church in New Street, St. Stephen's is here. No, you're just around the corner here. St. Andrew's. We're just here in Brighton. We are classed as the biggest churches, and there's a few empty benches here. It's sad. It's sad. But do you know why? Because of that verse there. We are not, as children of God, we are not in one accord. Even today. Even today. Did you know if I must ask some pivotal questions this morning, we would differ in our opinion, and some of us would even walk out because we're not in one accord. The reason why the blessing has been withheld is because the church is not in one accord. The minute you come to church, you want the position, you want to do what you want to do, because it's about you. This is about God. It's not even about me. Take me out of the equation, man. God will use in this church who he wants to use. We ask people to lead a service, they preach. We ask people to do this, they do their own thing. The poor worship leader wants to do this, you come and you want to do that. I'm not talking about you, huh? I'm saying we're not in one accord. The reason why the church is not being blessed is because we're not in one accord. I'm asking a question this morning. What will it take for us to be in one accord? What will it take? Come on. speak to me. What will it take for us? There's just one word, man. There's just one word. Obedience, miracle, R. Repentance. Is that what you said? Hallelujah. Repentance. Folk, we know what God requires of us. When I'm counsel couples, I say to them, I speak on five aspects in marriage. Who did I counsel here recently? Nobody married here recently. The Bible, the bed, the bank, and communication. And you know what? In communication, there's another C there. It's called compromise. We as the church do not know how to compromise. The Bible teaches us that when Pentecost came, friends, these guys were up in one accord. They were together. We come together week after week. But you know what? We come because this is what we do on a Sunday. This is what we do. This is our behavior. This is our tradition. Let's cut tradition out, man. If this is your tradition, the reason why you are not being blessed is because you're hanging on to tradition. Let's get rid of tradition this morning. If this is what you do because God said, this is what we do. My mother said, we've done this for so many years. Let's cut it out. Say, Mom, I'm done. Because I've got a relationship with God. I want a relationship with God and not just with the church. Friends, it is time that we become real. Verse 2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I just want to read you the Bible that I've got here. This is from our brother Eugene Peterson, the Message. And it says here, when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. Now, I know we've got some fishermen here. We've got some people that knows about fishing. Anybody knows about the sea? Michael is not here now. Jeff is not here. The sailors. Now, if we talk about a gale force wind, what are we talking about? Please, anybody help me. When we talk about a gale force wind, what are we talking about? Is it like a little breeze? It's not a breeze. Did you ever think about why do you think that God needed to use a strong wind to make sure that this happens? He could have used lightning and thunder as well. But why do you think God had to use wind? Have you seen the destruction of wind? The other day, myself and Kay went to Wanthagi. And we went a different route that my GPS took us. And I went Kongwak. I'm not swearing. This is the place. It's real. It's a place. Kongwak. Anybody knows where Kongwak is? I went through Kongwak. So now you know how I got to Wanthagi. But the one thing that I picked up there, because it's open field, there was a lot of bushes that was laying, a lot of trees. Remember, it was storming. There was a lot of trees that was down. Now, when I read this, I'm thinking of our trip through Kongwak to get to Wanthagi. There's a highway. God took us that way. The GPS took you. Yeah, all right, the GPS took me that way. The reason why God sent a strong gale force wind is to disrupt the things that is called steady, that we look at as being our rock, our foundation, our religion, our tradition. It needed to be shaken. It needed to be shaken. And you know what? The joy that I had looking at this one tree, it was the tree fell. And you could actually see how the roots was exposed. When that gale force wind came through, man, it ripped out the tree from the root. When the gale force wind of the Holy Spirit comes over us, it rips out your roots from where you come. Because God wants you to be real. When he's, and that is the thing that scares a lot of believers these days. It brings fear into us because we do not, we're scared of the unknown. We're scared of it. I want to say to you this morning, my friends, the reason why these guys were in one accord, and it was days after Jesus left that the Holy Spirit came on them. And you know, during that days, it was days of preparation. It was days of preparation. How many days have we been wandering this earth and in preparation of what God is about to do right here? God needs to send in that wind to dislodge us from our traditions, from what we believe we know, from what our family taught us, from what we say, this is who we are, from that hymn that the Baptists sing, I shall not be moved, from all those type of things. God needs to send in that wind to move us that way. And by God's grace, when that wind comes and dislodges you, you know what? You will not fall where it's convenient. I don't fall where there's a patch of grass. I don't fall. I fall right under this. And you know what? When you fall, you will fall where God wants you to fall. And a lot of us are scared. A lot of us are scared that the Holy Spirit comes on us because you know what? I've gotten a short skirt, so I will fall like this. Fall like God wants you to fall. Your roots will be dislodged. It's not about being sexy. It's about being real. It's not about being glamorous. I'm going to fall. Ooh. Man, if you fall, you fall. Because when you're in business with God, it's not about the look. It's about the heart. And then the Bible says, and suddenly there came a wind, and as the Spirit gave them, where am I now? And they appeared to them, verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now friends, in the preparation, what do you think the question came to each of them? What do you think the question came? Because I believe the Holy Spirit came on Mary, what is the thing that the angels came into her presence? And what did the angel say to her? Do not fear. When the angel spoke to Joseph, what did he say to him? Do not fear. When the angel spoke to each of these individuals that was in the upper room, what do you think? Why did they gather in the upper room? Because they were scared. And I'm sure, it doesn't say so in scripture, I'm sure the angel came to each of them at some point, but they were so scared they wouldn't tell each other. And the angel said to them, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. You know, when I sit with somebody as they're about to pass, what do you think the last words from my mouth comes to somebody that's about to pass? Come on, say it. Do not fear. Do not fear. The word of the Lord this morning is do not fear. I would like to stop a few minutes and look at the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit is and is not. If we function according to our ability alone, we get the glory. If we function according to our ability, we get the glory. Remember I said to you a couple of months ago, many folk like the way that I speak. So when they go out at the door, they say to me, oh, Pastor, that was so beautiful. I don't want the glory, my friends. I know this is my ability, but this is to God's glory. Hallelujah. If we function according to the power of the Holy Spirit within us, God gets the glory. I can't do what I do without Him. You can't do what you do without Him. We've got to say it this morning, like we believe it. I cannot be who I am without Him. The problem is we're not saying it enough because we don't believe it. We don't say it enough because we don't believe it. Do we believe the scripture when it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Do we believe it? Now, if we believe that scripture, what prevents us from believing this? What prevents us from believing this? The problem is fear. The problem is fear. These four ladies are saying, please don't stop here. Are you saying that? Please don't stop here. Just move on. Move on swiftly. Are you scared this morning? Scared of laying hands on people? Can I ask you now to go out here and go lay hands on somebody? The first thing you'll do is say, can I take my keys with me? I might not return today. We are scared because we're scared of doing exactly what God wants from us to do. But Pastor, you know, this is not the area that we do these things. You are in the area that God wants you to be. Remember, I said earlier, when you fall out of what you used to, you fall where God wants you. When you do something for you, it's for you. If you want to get the praise, you will get the praise, but that's all that you will get. Up there, there's no praise for you because you got it already. Friends, I want to say to you this morning, the Holy Spirit of God has been poured out over this house. It is for your taking. It is for your taking. Our guests, you're not here by chance, my brother, my sister, you're not here by chance. God has got a divine word for you right now. Now remember, I started my sermon this morning by asking you about the driving a car with power steering and no power steering. I want to go back this morning to a notice that I read on the internet. And I told you, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, man. There's people out there with brilliant minds. Now I read this and I felt, wow, this is awesome. The title of it is An Urgent Recall Notice. Now, there's many of us with cars that has been recalled for some reason or the other. Amen? We drive a Honda, and we've been recalled to do the airbags recently. And Ryan, you drive an Audi, and what was your recall about? Oh, my word. Trade the car. Get a Honda. Have you had a recall? Airbags? Now, I want to read you this recall noticed. The fine art of doing nothing. The sign on the stage proclaimed the motionless man. He makes you laugh. If you can make him laugh, you will get $100. I don't know if you've ever heard about this motionless man. The temptation was irresistible. For 3 hours, boys and girls, men and women performed every antic and told every joke they knew. But Bill Farquhar, I don't know if you've heard about him, the motionless man, stood perfectly still. Farquhar is the genius. Farquhar is in the Guinness Book of Records for being the champion at doing nothing. Oh, my word. In fact, he appeared so motionless during his routine at shopping malls and amusement parks that he is sometimes mistaken to be a mannequin. When I heard about Bill Farquhar, the motionless man, he reminded me a lot about a few churches I know. Many congregations seem to have mastered the art of doing almost nothing about something. Well, that's not the way it was on the day of Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, Acts chapter 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. It goes on right there to Acts chapter 2 verse 5, 6 and 7. Then Acts chapter 8 says, then how it is that each of us hears them in his own native tongue. 11b, we hear them declaring the word, the wonders of God in our own tongues. amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" The background of the story this morning says the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ were during the Passover. Passover observed the miracle of the death of the firstborn in Egypt. Pentecost was at the same time the Jews were observing the festival of the first fruits. It was a celebration of the harvest. Many Jews from many nations were present in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. God had a plan to bring people together so that the fullness of the coming of Jesus would be evident to as many people as possible. Number one, two things preceding the coming of the Holy Spirit among them at Pentecost. One was repentance. Now this is so important to listen to, as this is understood by many as an urgency. Repentance is an urgency, friend. An urgent recall notice. The makers of all human beings is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of make or year, due to a serious defect in the primary and central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype units, codenamed Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. The defect has been technically termed, subsequently, internal non-morality, or more commonly known as sin, sin, as it is primarily expressed. Some of the symptoms of this defect is, what do you think the symptoms of this defect, of this model is? Number one, loss of direction. Number two, foul vocal immersions. Number three, amnesia of origin. Number four, lack of peace and joy. Number five, selfish or violent behavior. Number six, depression or confusion in the mental components. Number seven, fearfulness. Number eight, idolatry. And number nine, rebellion. These are the malfunctions of this model called the human being. The manufacturer, who is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repairs and services free of charge to correct the sin defect. The repair technician, called Jesus Christ, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required, and here the Pentecostal screams, "Hallelujah," because there's no fee to it. The nominal church says, "Amen, brother." And the rest of us are stunned because we are not used to not paying anything. The number to call for the repair in all areas is P-R-A-Y-E-R. What do you think that says? Prayer. That's the number to call. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Be of good cheer, my friend. Next, please download atonement from the repair technician, Jesus, into the heart component. Isn't that awesome? We like to follow the prompts, right? No matter how big or how small the sin defect is, Jesus will replace it with, come on now, we had a whole year of preaching on this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what Jesus wants to put in. Please see the operation manual called the Bible. That's our operation manual. Believer's instructions before leaving this earth. For further details on the use of these fixes, there is a warning. Continuing to operate the human being unit without correction voids any manufacturer's warranty. Are you still under warranty, Diana? Kay, are you still under warranty? Uncle, are you still under warranty? You still under warranty, sister? Come on, say it like you mean it. You still under warranty, Mark? Leah? We all under warranty. Yesterday I went to a lady and she said to me, I've got this little heater, and guess what? The heater's it rolls like this. The heater has got a lifetime warranty. She says, I've taken it back 3 times already, and they just replaced it. My friend, your lifetime warranty does not expire, my sister. Because God wants you, He can come anytime, you know what? And He gives you a new heart. Mm-hmm. Just like that. Exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list and will result in the human unit being permanently impounded. If you continue in your sin, this unit will become worthless. You will be impounded, never to be heard of or seen again. That's what we do with old units. For free emergency services, please call Jesus. The dangers of it is the human being unit not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped and put in a furnace. And what do you think that is called? Thank you. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter heaven so as to prevent contamination of that facility. You know, heaven is destined for the pure. For the pure in heart. Not for the good looking. Because remember, there's a lot of good looking people that's destined for. Yeah. Thank you for your immediate attention. When you become a Christian, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The continued effectiveness of the Holy Spirit hinges upon the same thing that the reception of the Holy Spirit does. And that is daily repentance. Every day, you've got to bow before Him, acknowledge Him as God and Savior, and that ensures the warranty of a lifetime. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit every time." Every day, we've got to repent of that. I truly trust that you will adhere to these instructions as we all have a need to continue life and live it to the full without the full intention of going to heaven, with the full intention of going to heaven one day. I know if I should stop here and ask, who of us are baptized in the Holy Spirit and know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we would most probably all respond, me. But I want to say to you, it is not about the response. Don't tell me that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but your life does not speak it. Don't tell me that you're a child of God and you're living like a demon. I'm not speaking of the footy teams, all right? I'm speaking of living like a demon. Don't tell me that. Show me how you love one another is what the Word of God requires of us. And the Bible says, see how they loved each other. Are you hearing God's word in your own mother tongue this morning? Are you hearing God's word in your mother tongue? Can you really say, I've been in the presence of God? Can you really say, yes, Lord, I'm hearing you? Or is it just, I just want to get out of here right now? Who's speaking here? Who are you responding to this morning? It's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ today. The Holy Spirit come, was poured out on each of them. Remember, they were prepared for it. And they were not afraid anymore. I want to ask you this morning, are you afraid? Are you afraid? Do not be. Because God will not take you where He cannot keep you. He will never give you a challenge beyond what you can handle, even today. Yes, some of us ask, Lord, why me? Why is it so big? Why does it always seem to be just me? Because you can. Because you can. May the Lord bless you as you consider why you are here this morning. As you consider that outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life. May God bless you. That's my story for this morning. Father, even as we just bow our heads and close our eyes, Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit of God, for that same presence of power to just come over this house this morning, Lord. Lord, you know who's in need of a fresh touch, of that special anointing this morning. You know who's in need of that. So I surrender every head that is bowed, every eye that is closed to you this morning. Friend, I want to ask you, don't you think it's time that you adhere to this recall? Don't you think it's time that you just say, yes, Lord, I've been pretending for too long. Lord, my life is a mess. I need a fresh touch from the Savior. I want to pray with you, my friend. I want to ask you that I'm not going to make a spectacle of anybody. You just raise your hand this morning. I just want to mention your name before the Lord. It doesn't even have to be mentioned here. Father, I pray for that hand that is up. Every one of them that is up this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for an infilling of that Holy Spirit this morning. That, Lord, you know our hearts. We're not here to pretend. Father God, if we're sitting here, Lord, and we are prepared to just go out the same way, I pray, my God, that your Holy Spirit will deal with them. But for this morning, Lord, for those of us, Lord Jesus, who's got surrendered hearts, humbled in our spirit, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, please just touch us afresh. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand together as we sing our closing hymn? This kingdom.